Father, we ask you, Lord, as we begin this series, that you would not only inform our minds, Lord, but that we would have revelation, understanding, that it literally would change our lives as we develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We see you working in the world, and we see you working in our lives. And Holy Spirit, we want to take it to another level during these messages, Lord. So we're asking you, Holy Spirit, to come in power as we honor you in your word, in Jesus' name. Anyone who studies the subject of the Holy Spirit in the Bible can clearly see that the Holy Spirit plays a predominant role in the world, and even more so in our personal lives. Yet I think in our understanding of the work and the purpose of the Holy Spirit is pretty shallow. We listen to the themes that are taught in sermons these days, and you'd think the Holy Spirit was an obscure topic. But throughout this series, we're just going to see how important the role of the Holy Spirit is in our lives. I think the subject of the Holy Spirit is avoided in many places and for many reasons. There's so many opinions about the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and the work of the Spirit in our lives and in the church. And I think the topic is avoided because, first of all, it's mysterious. He's a spirit. And the Holy Ghost, I mean, anyone who hears that who's uninformed is like, what? The Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost? And around Halloween, we know what that is. A ghost. Rational, intelligent people have a problem right off the bat with the Holy Ghost. Invisible, unpredictable, uncontrollable, maybe unbelievable, a little scary. The Apostle Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 2:14. Listen to this. The natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. He can't understand them because they are spiritually appraised. What does that mean? He doesn't understand them because they're spiritually appraised. Here's what it means. It means it takes the work of the Spirit for us to understand the works of the Spirit. They're spiritually appraised. The things of the Spirit reveals. And so it takes the work of the Spirit. And so if anyone has an aha moment about what the Spirit of God is and what he does, it's because the Spirit has informed him of that. And we're going to see that clearly as we study the subject of the Holy Spirit in the Word. The other big dilemma is what I call the C word. The C word. And the C word is control. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature, think about sinful things. But those who are, what? Controlled. That's the C word. By the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. If you talk about that in a college classroom, the whole idea of the Spirit controlling your mind, it doesn't sound good, but let me tell you, it is good. It is so incredibly good. There's something we need to learn about how to let the Spirit control our lives and our minds, our emotions, our how to relinquish control to the Spirit. And it's not an easy thing because our default lifestyle is control. I mean, we want control, and we fear losing control to people or anything in this world. And the challenge that is before us is to allow the Spirit of God to take control of our lives. And generally, I think we have more understanding of the role of the Spirit in the world than we do of the role of the Spirit in our lives. And the reason for this is, in our lives, it's personal. It's personal. And we can talk about what's happening out in the world, and we can pray that the Spirit would be poured out. But in our lives, it's personal now. And whether you know it or not, there is a battle for control that takes place between our flesh and the Spirit of God, the indwelling Spirit. And we clearly see this in Scripture. And the question, of course, is, whose side are you on? The flesh side or the Spirit side? Whose side am I on? And the proper answer is probably, it depends on what day it is. Sometimes I'm leaning toward the flesh. Sometimes I'm leaning toward the Spirit. And this is desperately an area we need to grow in desperately. This morning, though, I want to begin with the basics. But don't be put off, because the basics are mind-blowing when it comes to the work of the Holy Spirit. And so let's begin. We're going to go to John chapter 3, verse 5 through 8, and hear the words of Jesus to Nicodemus. Hear the words of Jesus to Nicodemus. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit," always look out for the capital S. Capital S has to do with the Spirit of God. Small s has to do with the spirit of man, your spirit. And we'll explore that in a minute. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Don't be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from, where it's going. So this is the life and of everyone who is born of the Spirit. That's kind of a mysterious verse, but it means a great deal to me. Our challenge, in verse 8 here, our challenge is to be along for the ride. And when he's talking about the wind, along for the ride, to be carried by the wind of the Spirit. Wherever the wind of the Spirit goes, we need to go. You can't see it, but you can feel it. You can see its effects, and you can hear the sound of it, but you can't see it. It's invisible. And we don't know where it comes from. We don't know where it's going, but we want to know the Holy Spirit of God. And this scripture is really dear to my heart, because 2 weeks after I came to Jesus, I was sitting on the floor with my back to the wall in this dark room. I was holding a picture of my hand of a piece of land in Kentucky that I was going to buy. It was very cheap. It was like $4,000 for a couple of acres of land. I was holding this picture in my hand, and this was my grand plan at this time in my life. I was going to buy this piece of land. I was going to raise potatoes. I was going to fish for bass on the weekends. And there was going to be a big no trespassing sign out there that said, you know, guarded by Smith and Wesson or something like that. Go away. Away from the world, away from people. And while I was pondering this picture, I looked up, and I had a vision with my eyes open. I saw a feather floating in the air. You know the Forrest Gump feather? Did you see as the movie opens, you know, there's this feather blowing in the wind, going wherever the wind takes it, and it lands on Forrest's shoe. But I saw this feather floating in the air, and the Lord spoke to me and said, "Give it up. Stop planning your own life. I have plans for you." And let me tell you, I was nowhere at that time in my life. I just absolutely nowhere. The Lord was telling me, look, my wind's going to blow and you're going to go. And this is the way I want you to live. You don't know yet where you'll go, but let go and let God work. And so this was his challenge to me. And so I literally tore the picture up. I mean, it was that strong a feeling. I tore the picture up and said, okay, wherever you want me to go, Lord. And, you know, if you look back on the course of your life and the places you stumbled into, the places you got to by mistake, the opportunities, the doors the Lord opened. I mean, so this is a story of our lives, going with the Spirit. The wind comes, no man knows where it's going, no man knows where it's going. This is how it is to live the life of the Spirit. And trust God with this whole thing. So let's go back to the last slide. Can you do that, Colby? It's from this passage of Scripture that we understand our need to be born again. This is where the born again Scripture is in the Bible. You must be born of the Spirit. You must be. This is Jesus speaking. And let me just say this right from the start. You can believe in Jesus and not be born again. Nicodemus himself is proof of that. I mean, the reason he came to Jesus in the night was he was believing. He was seeing who Jesus was. But Jesus would tell him, look, in order to really know what's going on in the kingdom of God, you must be born again. And also, I need to say, you and I are not the judge of who is and who isn't born again, by the way. So don't even go there. More evidence for this can be found in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. Let's read this. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and asked them, did you receive, this thing is acting up, isn't it? Down? Yeah, thank you very much. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they answered, no. We have not even heard there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked them, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul answered, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. More on that later. Unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The water that is referred to there is the water, it refers to the amniotic fluid in a mother's womb. Born of the Spirit refers to what happens when the Holy Spirit comes into your life. It's also called regeneration. And a lot of places have replaced regeneration with confirmation. You go through catechism, you get confirmed, but nothing has really happened on the inside that is life-changing. Only when you are born of the Spirit, Jesus said, can you truly understand the things of God. And when a person sincerely comes to Christ and believes, they should also receive. So it's not enough. Jesus is saying, have you received since you believed? No, we didn't even know there was. That was the deal. This is Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord God will call. And the Lord has many gifts for us, but the Holy Spirit is the gift. It's the gift. As a matter of fact, the gifts of the Spirit can't be acquired until you receive the Spirit. They're the gifts of the Spirit. When he moves in, he brings those things with him. But the gift of the Spirit is the gift. When a person repents and turns to Christ, they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And ponder this. He literally, physically moves into our bodies. Takes up residence in our spirit. And this is something you can feel. Once he moves in, he begins to go to work. And to the degree that we allow him, this is a big issue here. The degree that we allow him, he begins his work of renovation. Renovating our minds, our emotions, our stubborn wills, even our physical appetites need to come under control of the Holy Spirit. You've seen this diagram before. This is the makeup of man. The makeup of man. We are spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. The spirit, big S, comes into our spirit, little s. So he takes up residence in this dark spot you see there. It was Blaise Pascal in the 1600s. He was a Catholic who was a mathematician, and he's the one that coined the phrase, there is a God-shaped void or hole in every person. Meaning, this place called the spirit is where the Spirit of God inhabits when he comes into our lives, into our bodies. And he begins to work out from there into the mind, the will, and the emotions, and even the physical body. Jesus' promise to his followers was this, John 14, I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. Now, that's an important verse. He abides with you and he will be in you. When we look at the Spirit of God in the Old Testament, we see a number of references to the Spirit of God coming on various individuals. I mean, even Samson, the Spirit of God came on him. And so you see many, many references to the Spirit of God coming on human beings. But in the New Testament, Christianity is all about the Holy Spirit in you, Spirit of God coming in you and not just on you. And I want you to look at kind of a mind-blowing passage in Ezekiel. This is Ezekiel's prophetic words about the Holy Spirit being in our lives. Ezekiel chapter 36. This is so clear and so powerful. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, is it not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act? But for the sake of my holy name, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. This is so amazing. I mean, you can carry this into the New Testament. I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the countries, and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you. This is water baptism. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean from all your uncleanness. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And from all your idols, which I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, little s. That's a synonym for that would be attitude. I'll give you a new attitude. So I'll give you a new heart and a new attitude, and I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, and I'll cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your forefathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will deliver you from all your uncleanness. What does this passage say about the purpose of the Holy Spirit in our lives? First of all, in verse 26, he will soften and change my heart, my attitudes. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what he wants to do if I am willing. That's what he wants to do, soften and change my heart and my attitudes. Verse 27, he will give me a love for his commands and a heart to obey. And, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And this is a battle. I mean, many of us really don't have a love for his commands and a heart to obey. But the promise is that I will put my spirit in you, and he's going to change that. He's going to work on you. Verse 28 says, and this I think is most important of all, I will be his man and he will be my God. This speaks about the love relationship with us and God. The Holy Spirit in me to actually liberate me, to give me this great love for God and the knowledge of his great love for me. I am my beloved's and he is mine. I will be his man and he will be my God. Verse 29, again, he says, he will clean up my life. My thoughts, my actions, my impulses. He will deliver me from all the uncleanness of this world. The Spirit of God is called the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of holiness. His nature is holy. His work in me is to make me holy. And listen, we can all declare, I refuse to fight with the Holy Spirit over this. His mission is to make me holy, and I refuse to fight with the Spirit over this. We all come up with these excuses about what, you know, we want to be a little bit holy. You know, the whole idea of going all the way. We are so often dragged down the road. And it's just this us resistance to, you know, diving all the way in. And we need to refuse to fight with the Spirit over the work that he wants to do in our life. We need to understand what he wants to do and say, yes, that's what I want to. So when the Spirit of God moves into our spirit, life starts over. We're born again. That's the starting point. But understand this, we're born as babies, needing to learn the ways of the Father, needing to make decisions that reflect who we really are, the children of the King, destined to reflect his nature and be involved in his work and dwell with him forever. It's interesting, the word spiritual, which we find so often in the scriptures, especially in Corinthians, the word spiritual means under the influence of the Spirit. That's what it means, spiritual. You are not a spiritual man or woman unless you are living under the influence of the Holy Spirit. So that's a simplicity of what it means. Spiritual, under the influence of the Spirit. Now, you can be under the influence of another spirit. Or let me amplify that, other spirits. You can be under the influence. So you can, you know, you can pick whatever you want. I mean, people are, and you can tell when people are under the influence of a bad spirit. And, you know, we know people like that. Hey, this is not good. Let me give you a brief overview of what we need to learn about the Holy Spirit. We'll be coming back to these scriptures in the weeks ahead, but I just want to kind of overwhelm you here for a moment here and give you some scriptures. As we read each one of these, I mean, this is a little bit hard to see, but right here I have a bookmark that you can take of this slide that's up here. And if you would humor me, take one of these, put it in your Bible, and during these next few weeks, read these scriptures on the Holy Spirit and on what according to the Bible, we are to do these things. Now, as I read these, I want you to say in your spirit, how can I do that? That's it. With each one of these, how can I do that? And we'll come back to that statement in a moment here. According to the Bible, we are to worship in the Spirit, Spirit and in truth, Jesus said. Two places that's in the Bible, Philippians 3:3, John 4:23. According to the Bible, we are to be led by the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And the scripture reference is there. We need love in the Spirit rather than in the flesh. That's agape versus phileo or... But we need to love in the Spirit. We need to walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5:16. We need to live by the Spirit. We need to keep in step with the Spirit, because sometimes we are way behind. We need to pray in the Spirit, and I will add sing in the Spirit. We need to experience the power of the Spirit, walk in the power of the Spirit in our lives, to experience the joy of the Spirit, to be sanctified by the Spirit, to be vindicated in the Spirit. We need to be renewed by the Spirit, to exercise the gifts of the Spirit, to have the Spirit's help in our weaknesses. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses because we don't always know what to pray. We need to abound in hope by the power of the Spirit. And finally, we need to be taught by the Spirit, which is where we're going to go next week, all the things the Spirit wants to teach us. And the question is, how can I do that? How can I do these things? And it's the right question, but you don't want to ask the wrong person. Did you get that? It's the right question. How can I walk in the Spirit? How can I be filled with the Spirit? How can I pray in the Spirit? How can I be empowered by the Spirit? It's the right question, but you don't want to ask the wrong person. As a matter of fact, you don't want to ask any person, because they're all liars, including me. I mean, you don't want to, this is a question that needs to be posed to the Spirit himself. Pose that question to the Spirit himself. Ask the Holy Spirit that question. How can I do that? The things of the Spirit are revealed by the Spirit. And so if you want to know how you can do all these things, how you can experience these things, we need to actually ask the Spirit. Now, I know this might be a little strange to you, talking to the Spirit. The Spirit of God is your best friend. I mean, I don't care what kind of, he is your best friend. And he's not an it, he's a he. And if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the scripture says, I mean, he's living in here. I should have a relationship with him. I should talk to him. I should read what the scripture says about him. And I should say to him, hey, I want you to do your work in me. His task is incredible. He is in me to renovate my entire life. Teach me all things. Lead me in paths of righteousness. Reveal the truth to me. Empower me for service. Resist temptation. Transform my mind. We want to learn to walk in the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Sense his direction in our life. Cooperate with him and allow him to control our lives. All of that is so utterly important. As an introduction this morning, I want us to look at the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus, because it's a pattern for all of us to follow. The Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus, it's all found in Luke chapter 3 and 4. Everything I'm about to share with you, Luke chapter 3 and 4. Luke chapter 3, verse 21, it says, the Holy Spirit descended upon him, Jesus, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is the starting point for all of us. At this point, when the Spirit descended on him, Jesus heard this affirming voice from his Father in heaven. You are my beloved. I am well pleased with you. We too experience this when we first receive the Holy Spirit in our life. There's this affirming voice that says, you're my son, you're my daughter, you are pleasing to me. Romans puts it, the Spirit of God in us cries, Abba, Father, Daddy. There's this connection. When the Spirit of God came into my life, it was literally the first time I ever felt loved. Ever. It was the first time I ever felt loved. It's something I'd always wanted, but had never felt in my entire life. The first time I ever really felt love. So when the Spirit of God, this is where it all begins. The Spirit of God comes into your life. There's this affirming voice. I am now a child of God. And the affirmation also is, he loves me. He loves me. There's this connection that is made. Next we find in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, it says Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit and he returned to the Jordan. The Spirit filled his whole being, soul and body. And when this happens, you can feel it. I mean, and you know, we all know what it's like. Oh, I'm really in the Spirit right now. I remember the Apostle John, he's on the Isle of Patmos, and he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Well, let me put it another way. The Spirit was in me on the Lord's day. I mean, I was having a magic moment. I mean, it was as good as it could possibly be. But Jesus now is full of the Spirit. And so it begins as the Spirit descended on him. Now he's full of the Spirit. The rest of that verse is, and he was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Doesn't that sound appealing? The Spirit descends on him. He's full of the Spirit. He can hear now. He's in touch with the Spirit. He's being motivated. And the Spirit of God says to him, go in the desert and you're going to have some hard times. I mean, he was led by the Spirit to a place he wouldn't have normally gone. I don't know. You've had this experience. The Spirit of God. I mean, you look at, there's so many references in scriptures to people who were led by the Spirit to do things they didn't want to do. I'll develop that a little bit more later. But now he's led by the Spirit to the wilderness. And then in verse 14, Jesus returned from the desert in the power of the Spirit. and news about him spread through the whole countryside. So it's step by step. He's the Spirit descends on him. He's full of the Spirit. He's led by the Spirit, and he comes out of the wilderness, and he's a different man. The power of the Spirit begins to work through him in his ministry and in his life. Everyone begins to hear because the demonstration of the power of the Spirit is being displayed in the life of Jesus. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19 now. Jesus gets up and he reads the scripture in the temple. And he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is now on me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor." Now he's anointed to preach. He references the anointing. So we're going by progression here. The Spirit descends on him. He's full of the Holy Spirit. He's led by the Holy Spirit now, and he comes out in the power of the Spirit, and the Spirit of God has anointed him, meaning he's given me a mission, a purpose. I have a call, and I am anointed for that call. And I'm not just doing it as the Apostle Paul said. It's not just in the flesh. He's anointed to do what he's doing. And finally, it says in verse 19, Luke 4, 19, "He, the Spirit, has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, release to the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Now, these six things really reflect what the Holy Spirit wants to do, accomplish in our life. Receive him, be full of him, be led by him, be empowered by him, be anointed by him, and sent by him out into the world. Just before his ascension, Jesus gave his followers this promise. And you know this promise. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." I mean, they were believers. And now he's telling them, look, you're powerless. Don't think of yourself as some big deal. You will receive power, dunamis, dynamite, when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. The work of the Spirit, I think, can be summed up in these four little words. The power to be. The power to be. The power to be who we really ought to be, who we really are in Christ. The work of the Spirit is to bring us to the place where we have found the power to be, the power to say no to temptation, the power to do what we know is the right thing to do, the power to live according to the Word of God. And we are powerless to do that without the aid, the assistance of the Holy Spirit. You will receive power and you will be my witnesses. This doesn't say you're going to receive power and then you're going to go out there and you're going to witness to people. That's not what it's saying. It says you will be my witnesses. Not the words that you say, you will be my witnesses. When people look at your life, when they hear your words, when they see your character, when they see your attitudes, when they inspect your fruit, when they see your demonstration of faith and your works, that's the witness. That's the witness. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. When they see the demonstration of the power of the Spirit in your life, they will know that I am God. They will see a life transformed by the Spirit's power. They will see a life controlled by the Spirit and not by the flesh. They will see the wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit. They will see the gifts of the Spirit in action. They will see the fruit of the Spirit in your life. In this series, I want to stir you up with a passion to know the Holy Spirit, to have the same interests of the Spirit, to move in the Spirit and really understand what all these words about the Holy Spirit really mean. And for us to really know, hey, I was led by the Spirit to do this or that or the other thing. There's so many instances of this in the Bible. I want to stir you up to know the plan of the Spirit for your life and to know how to fully cooperate with him. And I know for certain that times I ignore and resist the Spirit. If you're human, you have to fess up to that. There are times when I'm sitting in front of the television and God is speaking to me by the Spirit to do something else, and I don't want to. You know, it's all so simple. It's the little choices we make, the little foxes that spoil the vine. The times when you had a prompting to call someone and you didn't want to. The times when the Lord was asking you to pray and you didn't want to. I mean, I can admit that. At certain times, I ignore and resist the Spirit's leadership. But I want to get over it. I mean, because there's no life like life in the Spirit. There is no life. It's the best life there possibly is. What an incredible adventure it is. Now, it's a strange thought to think that our bodies have been invaded by a divine spirit. And I say this again because many of us, we just, for some reason, we forget that. You know, that somehow the Spirit of God is in me. And if I'm looking for, if I need anything, or if I'm looking for anything, if I want to see something done, the Spirit of God lives in me. And we need to be so aware of that. Would it be a strange thing to thank the Spirit for the things he's done for us? Would that be a strange thing? I mean, it may not sound strange, but most people never do that. Yeah, he's living in me. He's got this mission. He wants to transform my life. But, you know, I never talk to him. I never show him much appreciation. Has the thought ever occurred to you to talk to the Spirit? Ask him for assistance. Ask him for advice. Even more strange would be the idea that I would ask him to more fully possess me. You ever said those words? Holy Spirit, I want you to more fully possess me. Control my mind. Take control of my flesh, my thoughts. Holy Spirit, I confess I don't know how to do that, but I'm willing to be made willing. I surrender my will, my mind, my emotions to your power. And this is why the Apostle Paul was saying, look, you know, when you come to the Lord, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Give him your all. And the renewing process will continue and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The first thing is there's got to be the surrender. And even though we know that our flesh does not want to do that, here's where we need to step through, step over our flesh, and really affirm the work of the Spirit in our own life. So back to the big question as I close. Here's the big question. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? That's the big question. If your answer to that is, I don't know, then it hasn't happened. I don't believe that a person can be born again and not know it. If your answer to that is, I don't know, I'm not here to condemn you or anything, but it's time to deal with that. Today is the day. And this is such a simple step, but it requires the engagement of your will. I don't know if I've received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And here's the Apostle Paul saying to Christians, disciples, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And the honest answer was, no. I didn't even know there was a Spirit. I didn't know about how this worked. But they were willing at that point. The Apostle Paul prayed for them, and they received. So I'm going to ask you to consider that this morning. And I'm not going to ask you, you can come forward afterwards, but I'm going to ask you right where you're sitting to ponder this. I don't want anyone to feel, well, I don't want to make a display of myself. You don't need to make a display of yourself. You just need to contend with this incredible issue. Have I received the Holy Spirit since I believed? If I don't know, bow your heads with me. What must we do? They said. Turn to him. Repent. Make a commitment to be baptized and receive the gift. Father, we are closing our eyes right now. We're focusing on you. Lord, there are those sitting in this room who don't know if they've received the Holy Spirit or not. And Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus, Lord, to make us all willing, not only to receive the gift, but to surrender our lives, our wills, our emotions, our bodies to the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you don't know this morning, I am going to ask you to do one thing. I'd like you to just raise your hand to the Lord and say, Lord, this morning I want to settle this issue in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if that's you this morning, just raise your hand with me this morning and we're going to pray. Thank you, Father God. Holy Spirit, we open our hearts to you. We open our minds to you. Lord, we open our minds, Lord, to the gift of the Spirit of God. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, I open my heart and my mind and my entire life to be inhabited by the Spirit of the living God. So I open my heart now. Say it with me. Come in, Holy Spirit. Come in, Holy Spirit. Come in, Holy Spirit. Come into my heart. Come into my mind. I receive you in Jesus' name. Yes, yes, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we repent this morning. We ask for your forgiveness, for quenching you, for resisting you. We're allowing the flesh to overrule. Lord, we want to be controlled by the Spirit of the living God, and we are not ashamed to admit it. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask you to just overpower the flesh in our lives. Teach us the ways of the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to know a life that is lived in the Spirit of God. We bless you for that in Jesus' name.
I see this picture. And this picture is of this huge, giant blue couch, this comfy couch. It's just so big. And you've been in the couch, and the couch itself is becoming you, so to speak. You have been there so long, it's comfortable. It's the way of life. I don't want to get out of the couch. I don't want to get out of this comfortable place in the couch. And you've sat there so long that you are becoming the couch. And the Lord says to you this day, grab my hand. Grab my hand. And I will, saith the Lord, bring you out of that couch. I will give you the strength you need to get out of the couch, to come forward out of the lifestyle of the couch. And the Lord will deliver you from the blue comfy couch today if you grab his hand, saith the Lord.
Amen. Let's stand together. I don't know if you know this old chorus or not, but I'm going to sing it. You can sing along with me. I'm going to kill the music there. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Make me, mold me, fill me, use me. living God, fall afresh on me. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. Don't forget that I've got these Bible verses bookmarked up here so that you can read these scriptures about the Holy Spirit and be prepared for the weeks to come. So they're right up here. Just feel free to take one.